It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
Hello and welcome back. Do not adjust your set. Do not touch your radio. Do not touch your streaming services. Welcome back to another episode, a 2025 episode.
First of the year.
Of That Other Masonic Podcast. Brother Jared Adkins.
I'm Brother Todd Whaley.
We are coming to you not from home.
Not from Bethlehem.
We are in an impromptu environment because Bethlehem Lodge 574 in Bird's Eye, the fellowship hall is in use today, and Todd and I do not like to intrude on other people, even though we could technically go in the lodge room and shut the door. But we don't want to walk on people. Yeah. So we are coming to you from Line Lodge 743 in Jasper, one of the other lodges in DuBois County.
The county seat of DuBois County.
The county seat of DuBois County. Shout out to our good friend Tyson Cravener, who has been a huge supporter of ours in the show.
Yep.
Master this year. Said, you guys can just come record here. We are technically not in the lodge room, though.
No, we're in the banquet hall.
We're sitting in the banquet hall, but you know what? I ain't complaining a bit. This is it's a wonderful lodge, and I got to say, if something ever happened to our lodge, God forbid. Even though I belong to the York Ride in Honeyburg, where the Honeyburg Lodge is.
That's the only York Ride in the county.
Yeah, I would probably come here. You know what it is, right? Uh-uh. The seats are more fat-friendly here at Jasper than at Honeyburg because the Honeyburg have armrests on their seats.
Oh, yeah.
And Jasper is all straight-back chairs, so there's nothing to rub my sides.
See, I like ours. We got pews.
We got church pews. That's how I judge a lodge right there, is if it is fat friendly.
And that is not the right way to judge a lodge.
I'm a simple man, Toad Whale. I'm a simple man.
You are very simple.
Speaking of Toad Whale. So we're just kind of getting back into things before I go with this Toad Whale thing. People will get that reference in a minute if they don't already. Yeah. But before we do, we've had a lot to do. We are together recording here. It is Sunday, January 19th. I'm going to go ahead and break the fourth wall. We're going to knock out some marathon recordings today. It'll probably be February or March before we record again,
Yep. Obviously.
But Todd and I have not recorded since the day before Veterans Day.
Yeah,
we were at Newburgh Lodge in Wark County. We were trying to get Christmas content. Our last episode was released about a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then we said, well, we'll just tell everybody we're going to take a 2-week break because of the holidays. Well, then the holidays got here. Then Winter Storm Blair dumped all the snow and ice across the Midwest. So,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So we are out of content and, we're good. We missed Founders Day this year.
Yeah. The weather was just awful there. And work got canceled 2 days, which they never,
you and John, our honorary third co-host John McEwen, you guys both had a work production at both your factories
on Saturdays
because the Winter Storm Blair shut you guys out for a few days, so both your factories ran full production on a Saturday,
which hasn't happened since probably said like 78.
Yeah,
the first time last time that factory been shut down for a couple days. Usually it's a skeleton crew, whoever can make it. This time they shut it all down because the ice was just too bad in the country and everything.
So for all of our listeners that aren't Indiana local that don't know about Winter Storm Blair, it was so bad that
I didn't know they gave it a name, man.
Even though I have two four-wheel drives and I have the Dadmobile minivan, where I'm at is kind of remote.
He does very well.
where I'm at is kind of remote. So it was going to be one of those things. If you don't get to the radio station, you're not going to make it there. And they want everybody they at least want somebody there to drip the faucets and work on updates. And so Saturday night, the day before.
Wait. Let's talk about dripping faucets.
We'll get to that in a minute. You know the story. Yeah, you heard the story.
I heard the story.
Okay. So we're just kind of cutting up this first episode. We got to get our wheels back underneath us. But so they needed somebody there to drip the faucets and kind of work on cancellations and closings. So I said, you know what? I'll stay at the station. So I got to the station Saturday night, January 4th or whatever it was, at 10 o'clock, and I didn't leave to go back home until Tuesday afternoon. When I got home Tuesday afternoon, my hot water heater had burst, so my carpet, my bedroom floor was ruined, so I had to crawl underneath my trailer, shut my water off, so then I went and stayed with my dad for a few days. Coming home from work on Thursday after my dad, the idler pulley and the belt broke on my truck. So I had a good first week of January.
Yeah, well, my radiator blew out of my car. So
what Todd is talking about dripping the faucets is I may or may not have caused a minor flood at the radio station.
I heard it was a little more than minor.
There are 2 inches of standing water. I'd like to defend myself if I may. I didn't get to defend myself on air on 101 Country WBDC because people wouldn't let me hear it. There's five faucets. That's probably my phone. Or is it your phone?
It ain't mine. Mine's on silent.
No, it's TikTok notifications.
Not anymore.
And Bill Piper.
Who?
Bill Piper. A good follower of the show. He's blowing up, liking whatever you posted. Anyways, there's four bathrooms and a sink, and I dripped all of them. One bathroom in particular, which I don't use that bathroom. I use the other one. The water doesn't really drip in there, so I cranked it up just a little more to make sure it was running.
Yeah.
And then 12 hours later, never bothered to check it, we got 2 inches of standing water in the bathroom because that one drain is
a little iffy.
So in addition to Winter Storm Blair, there was the flood of the Jasper radio station.
The Jared flood.
The Jared flood. But anyways, enough about that. We're glad everybody's safe and everything, but you know, as we're getting this first episode underneath us here, getting back, we're shaking off the rust. We got a bunch of things to talk about. I wanted to give you a few minutes here because I want to talk about Toad Whale. For those that don't know what Toad Whale is.
Toad Whale PM.
Toad Whale PM is for Todd Whaley, Past Master. That is Todd's Todd's call name, call letters, call name. I'm thinking of the radio station. That's
my handle.
That's his handle on TikTok. And as we sit here on Sunday, I want to give you a couple minutes.
It's a moment of silence for the death of TikTok.
I would like
in America, at least.
I would like to say TikTok's coming back. I think everybody's blown up. TikTok's going to come back.
I heard that Trump's going to have an executive order to bring it back, but you know, I don't know.
I'm not personally affected by this because
you got out of it.
Well, tell everybody why I got out of it.
It's just all the drama. It consumed my time. Yeah. And
I was running 7 or 8 hour lives and everything.
You couldn't go on there for like 10 minutes and talk. You had to be on there for 10 hours and talk.
Yeah. And it just kept going. So in July, I backed away from TikTok.
Yeah. It will take a lot of your time if you're not. It didn't take a whole lot of my time. It was in the evening after the kids went to bed and everything. I'd go in there and I'd talk to people from all across the world.
And that's why you're mostly so upset. Freemasons. Because Freemasonry contact.
Because I came to TikTok because I wanted more Freemasonry interaction.
And it was all over TikTok.
Yes, and it was all over TikTok. We had a big group of Masons on there. Some good, some bad, some clandy, some unrecognized. But, you know, those you didn't talk to, but... You know, we met Otanka on there. We met Meat Cutter on there.
We met Meat Cutter.
Upon the Level.
Upon the Level's on there. I got to be friends with Erica from Eastern Star in New York. And this is what I
got to be friends with, you know, Simmons and Fluff and...
Love all those guys.
Guys who are, you know, they're big time on TikTok. You know, they got a lot of followers and they got a lot of pull on TikTok.
Brother Fluff.
And just to be friends with those guys and be able to converse with those guys personally. That's what people don't understand.
We were talking to these people in real time.
In real time, yes.
Real time.
We talked to Otanka. He's outside London, England. And we talked to him in real time across the Atlantic Ocean, which you think about 50 years ago, that'd been unthought of. Hell, 20 years ago, be unthought of.
It was amazing technology. It allowed us the chance to do these things.
And we come up with, you know, you could discuss ideas on what you do. It'll do a lot. Your philosophies on masonry or, ooh, I never thought about it that way or, you know, stuff like that. It kind of opened your mind up to more Freemasonry, which is what I wanted. And then some of the drama came in. And it was I didn't come here for that. I came here just to talk with people.
So I want to, as TikTok is officially shut down in the United States right now, I did want to touch on that. So there was a period of time, and I'm not lying, Todd will back this up, where I call it my channel. I don't know what you would call it, but whatever it was that I was doing when I was running lives was, and I use the term hits like a website, I was getting traction.
Oh yeah, I was
encroaching, and Otanka even made the joke, and everybody who knows Freemasonry TikTok knows how big Otanka's platform was. I was getting Otanka level attention with how many people were coming into my lives every night. And I was wasting
It wasn't just Freemasonry.
We joked up, we pushed the envelope. There were some times when things probably weren't appropriate. But there was also nights when we would have just discussions about Masonry. Like, we learned a lot about Eastern Star from Erica that we didn't even cover on her episode.
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, and we got a lot of traction. And then in just about July, there started to be some internal drama with people that I've made mention on the show before, that we had like a little family of about 20 of us that ran around. There started to be some drama in there, and I always liken it to the quote Todd made, which was actually kind of in reference to something CM Punk said a long time ago, and everybody knows I love CM Punk. It's social media is my window to the world. It's looking out my kitchen or however. Mm-hmm. If I don't like what's coming into my kitchen, if I don't like what I'm seeing, I'm going to shut the damn window.
I'm going to shut the window because I don't want to hear it.
And so in about July or so, I shut the window. Mm-hmm. Now, I told everybody I'd only shut the window for a couple of weeks, and then I was like, after a couple of weeks went by, it's like, man, I'm enjoying this. I'm not coming home having to plug my phone in and stay attached to a phone charger all night because live's draining my battery.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I loved it, so but what I never told anybody other than Todd's the only person that knows this, I still seen a lot of the drama that was going in because I would get on TikTok and I would watch from outside. Anybody that knows what I'm talking about on the live, they don't see you until you actually enter the room. So there was nights I was sitting there watching some of these arguments and these and I just sit there in the shadows and nobody had a damn clue I was there.
Yeah, I did a lot too. Like, if guys are going off on this, that, or this guy's clean. No, he's not. This guy, blah, blah, blah. This guy's not amazing. He says he's not. And I'm not getting in the middle of this crap because it's not worth it to me.
Because you're 40-something years old.
Yeah.
I'm 37 years old. I don't need this. And if people are going to act like a bunch of damn children and not grown-ups.
Well, it all started out with, I'm not saying all females are bad or anything like that, but one female came
one person in particular that came into the room.
Who had no affiliation with the Mason. She's in there for only attention, I think. In my opinion, I think she's only there to get some attention. She's a very beautiful girl. And I think some guys got mad when she gave attention to other people. I think it started all of it right
now,
there.
I'm going to defend her on one thing because we reference this. If you go back to our – you can find it in our archives. I don't remember what the title of the episode was, but it was from March or April of this past year in 24. It was something about TikTok frustration or Jared airs it, something like that. I will defend this young lady on one thing. Now, there was times when she came in there looking for attention, but honestly, she came in there and she was actually being polite and respectful. But people would get upset when they's in there and somebody would say something to her confrontational. Then when that happened, this girl wasn't taking no crap. She bared her claws and then everybody was at each other's throats.
Right. And what we should know is whenever anyone showed frustration like that, she'd been kicked out right away.
Right. And I had the problem is it happened during one of my lives and I let it go, which is when I was like, I guess I need admins to help me run this thing, which is then when I – but anyways.
Yeah, and the admins, you get the wrong admins in there and they ruin everything.
Right.
You. I mean, I was an admin and I didn't even want to be. I didn't need to be.
But whether it's Freemasonry related or not, this is – am I sad to see TikTok go? In a way, because – we had a lot of fun there, even though I've been gone from TikTok since July.
Oh, yeah.
But we had a lot of fun there. And I honestly enjoyed the Masonic side of TikTok. Yes. When we could actually talk Freemasonry, because I'm going to tell you right now, I learned – can I say shit? I'm going to say – I learned a lot of good shit about Masonry on TikTok.
I learned what other states do and what they're
– and that was the cool – we would have brothers from all over the globe. Well, our ritual does it this way. Well, you guys do this during your staircase lecture? Well, we do this during our staircase lecture. Right.
Well, even I met Brody Willis.
Brody, I love you, bro. I'm sorry I couldn't make your Master Mason degree.
And he said he's getting his Master Mason degree. I was like, well, tell me what it is and I'll be there. Well, it just happened to be the day he got it. I got off work at...
And you asked me, are you going? And I said, no, I have to work.
Yeah, and I got off work in time and I hopped in my car, drove two hours. To Mount Vernon, Illinois, and saw him get his Master Mason degree, and then
came back 2 hours in a hell of a thunderstorm.
In a hell of a lightning storm.
Got back home about 2 o'clock in the morning and slept and got up at 5 for work. Yeah.
It was about 1:30. I got up, went to work, and I was running my dog ass tired. But it was worth it because I got to see an Illinois Master Mason for one. I got to participate a little bit too. I was one of the craft. All I had to say was here. So I didn't mess up, so I did good. But it was interesting to go see. It's interesting to see those outside our degrees outside of your jurisdiction, how different they are, but yet they're still the same. You know, you understand the story, you're just not reading the same language sometimes.
Thing I always say? We all get there. It's just a little different journey,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
And I met him over there, and we still talk to this day. I mean, we were going to meet Cutter's son's third degree, but ended up getting moved like 6 times, and then if I didn't work out, but. You know, I've been to Illinois twice now, see degrees. I mean, I've got guys you know, hey, come down here, come down here. Hey, we're having a third down here. It's like, well, if it wasn't on a Tuesday night and it was 6 hours away, I'd show up.
Do you realize that TikTok, I'm going to toot our own horn a little bit. Beep, beep. We have become, we're definitely the best Freemasonry podcast in the state of Indiana, right? Because we're still the only ones.
They got one in Bedford, too.
So now they got one in Bedford? Okay, so I can't really say that.
I think you're starting one in Terre Haute. I'm not sure. I haven't kept track of all of them.
We trendset that, by the way. I will take credit for that.
Yeah, we're pretty cool.
But how many people discovered our platform of this podcast because of TikTok? That played a big hand in it, too.
It kind of went both ways. A lot of people...
Because you was on TikTok before I was. I would like to point out that I had a TikTok account just as long as Todd had had one, but I never did anything on Freemasonry. I would just get on there and watch videos.
Right.
Then Todd was always coming in when we would start recording, going, oh, I was on these lives talking to this person. And then finally, I had enough one night. So I went over to the TikTok side. And then I got kicked out of like three rooms with it because I made it sus as hell. I was like, I'm not a clandestine Mason. I'm a real person, which is not the thing to say.
Yeah.
So, and then Todd finally came in right as I was getting ready to get booted out of a fourth room. He goes, wait, that's my co-host of the podcast. And they're like, oh, really? And then everybody apologized. So that was a fun first night on the Masonry side.
A lot of people, they say, hey, you know, I'd be on a live talking to your Fluff or Meat Cutter or even Simmons or Lyman on there. He goes, oh, you have that podcast. I said, which one? I said, is it that other Masonic podcast? They go, yes, that's the one. So, but yeah.
I started introducing myself as I'm Toad Whale's better half.
But, you know, it got to be where it's kind of both ways. It was good publicity for the podcast, but also guys come on there and ask us about the podcast. And how'd you get started? Why'd you want to do that? I'm like, well, one, I wanted to talk about Masonry. And
well,
here's how we do it.
For those that maybe are just discovering the show and look at the archives and see there's 82 episodes, and are like, I'm not going back that far. The podcast started because I met Todd in October of 2021.
In 2021.
Yeah, October of 2021, the day after my grandfather passed in September, I went to the October stated meeting.
No, first, I met you at the breakfast. You came to breakfast that year. Right after he passed away.
Yeah, but we had the stated meeting first. Yeah, the breakfast is in October. I came to the October stated meeting. The breakfast
was... You might be right.
So anyways, well, by the time the next month rolled around with November, I had made a mention and Todd goes, did I hear you say something about a podcast? I said, yes, I got podcasting equipment. Todd goes, do you want to start a Freemasonry podcast? And the infamous Jared line that everybody on this show quotes.
Nobody listens
to podcasts. Nobody listens to Freemasonry podcasts. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
So credit to Todd. Without Todd continuing to push me.
The older gentlemen, no, they don't listen to Freemasonry podcasts.
No, but some of them are now.
Y'all do now, but a lot of younger guys. Like I say, I wanted more Freemasonry in my life. Because I went almost 10 years without it after I got married and moved down to here in southern Indiana. I wasn't active in Lodge for a long time. So when I started discovering these Freemason podcasts like The Traveling Man and Three Knocks and...
There's so many good ones.
And there's a bunch of good ones out there.
Brother Juan's show again. I always like to pick on Juan. It's so... I never want anybody to take it out of context. I'm not saying Juan is a bad Mason. No, I'm not saying any of that. Juan just gets so in it that I have to like back away from him, like try to process what I just heard.
He's very esoteric.
Juan, I would love to have a sit down. I'm not saying he's got to be on our show or we got to be on his, but I would just love to sit down and talk to Brother Juan. So for anybody listening that interacts with Brother Juan and his podcast, please let us know.
I'd love to talk to him. I think it'd be a great conversation.
I guarantee you that guy will just open your mind to
probably
anyways, but yeah, so the quote-unquote temporary, I'm gonna call it temporary, the temporary death of TikTok in the United States, it's coming back. It's like I told Todd today,
there's other apps out there. There's Clapper, there's Favorited, and there's several of them out there.
Right.
I was on the Fluff earlier on Favorited. I don't know how I got on there. I just clicked something and there it was, but what, I'm still trying to figure it out.
The point I'm making though is I told Todd earlier is that of all the things in the world this country is concerned about, you really think they're concerned about TikTok?
No, everything going on with the fires.
I was like, TikTok will be back. I was like, before, I don't know when, and I'm not going to put a, I'm gonna save face right here. By December 31st, 2025, at the latest, TikTok will be back in the United States.
What I think to me is lost, but not so much talking to everybody. It's that a lot of guys were making a lot of money. You remember, you ever seen that guy, Dylan something? He was kind of a flamboyant. Yeah, a cooking guy.
Yeah.
He baked.
Yeah.
But he did old time. He tried to show everybody you could do it without all this fancy equipment and everything. He kind of flamboyant. He'd get his $3 bill, but he's entertaining. That's okay. Well, I got in there last night and he did his last post and he had tears in his eyes. He said, it's been 5 years I've been doing this. He said, you guys have made me a number one bestseller on my cookbooks twice now. He said, I have conversed with millions of you. And this guy's like, you've made my life so happy the last 5 years. And that almost that broke my heart for that guy.
There is one thing.
Because he's in Wyoming.
There is one thing I want to point out about that. I have seen a lot of memes shared across social media and a lot of Facebook posts from people on my friends list. And everybody's got a right to post whatever the hell they want. One thing Todd and I have never stood for and will never stand for is censorship or the ability to not say what you want to say.
Right.
No, we sometimes have said the word bitch on here and we've said ass, damn, hell, or shit, but we've never dropped the F-bomb. We keep it pretty tight. We support you. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I'm not saying people are sensitive themselves, but I have seen a lot of stuff in the last several days about people making fun of people losing TikTok. And here's my beef with that. There's a lot of people out there. Some people say, well, you can always take your lazy ass out and get a real job. You know what?
Most of them do.
Most of them do. Some of them are stay-at-home moms that can't afford childcare, so they stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
I personally know of a local woman, a Jasper local woman, who has made her business. She averaged about $50,000 a year making it on TikTok with her little business. Yeah, I'll tell you about it offline.
Okay.
But she, you know, she's like, I don't know what to do now. She goes, I can't physically get a real job. So for people out there throwing shade, like, I get it. You know, some people think TikTok's full of nothing but, you know, whatevers and whatevers. But to criticize people for losing a platform.
Well, like that guy, that Nunley, Danger Nunley.
Justin Nunley. I love Justin.
He's like, you know, 4 years ago, I turned my phone on, did a funny little video. He's an Air Force.
He's an Air Force veteran.
I mean, he was active Air Force while he did all this stuff. And he has made a much better life for himself by just through TikTok.
Well, it's like you and I talk about. People says, well, that doesn't happen to everyday people. No, you can make money.
You can.
You got to work harder at it. But there's been times where I told Todd, I was like, I got $20 from TikTok this week. To some people, that might not be a lot of money. But to somebody broke like me, $20 was $20 I could stick in my gas tank.
That's right. I mean, some people,
I made money on TikTok.
Some people make good money on TikTok.
Some people make five figures a month or more. Yeah,
but they're putting out videos every day and they're putting content
and they're creating scripts and they're making it a full-blown thing.
It's basically a job for them. I mean, even that I can't think of the guy's name, the flamboyant baker guy, you know, that was his entire life. He didn't have a job. He did TikToks, made money off of his cookbooks and everything. But to see him sit there and, you know, you see tears in his eyes, it's, what am I going to do now? Well, I'm sure he's going to find another platform to go to. But, I mean, it's rebuilding everything from the ground up again.
So my biggest question now is, and we're not making this whole episode about TikTok. No, we're just shooting the breeze. We're getting the rust off. But I'm going to ask you, in the recent weeks, we started to see, and I mean, I didn't really get on my app, but I was reading everything coming on social media and in some of the news sites and whatnot, there started to be the mass exodus from TikTok. People in preparation, just like shutting it down early, leaving. So when TikTok comes back, because it will come back, anybody with a brainstem knows it will come back. Do we see TikTok take a hit? Do we see that many people return or that many people like, you know what, it's time for a new platform? Is TikTok going to be as big as it used to be?
There's really, because I heard earlier that, you know, Clapper is TikTok light, but you can get more.
I heard Clapper's a little more uncensored. It's more adult oriented.
Not safe for work. Would they have a thing in there where you can click what kind of content you want to see? You want to see not safe for work, or do you want to see?
When you say not safe for work, are you talking like?
I'm talking porn, naked bodies.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah,
I turned mine off because I don't.
Right.
It doesn't. If I need to, I need to find something else to do.
That's but, good point.
But
did you know Twitter's like that now?
Oh yes.
For those that don't know about social media, like I have used Twitter.
Very
I've had a Twitter account for over 10-15 years, and I'll tell you whatever it was. I stumbled onto the dark side of Twitter by accident one night, and I'm always going to call it Twitter. I think X is stupid, but. You don't need to go to all those fancy adult oriented sites. If you accidentally stumble across the dark side of Twitter, brother, it's all right there.
You can see anything.
You see anything you want. It's like Showtime Unlimited.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
I'm like, really, on a social media? You wouldn't get away with that on Facebook.
No.
Anyways, no. I cut you off.
But you know, I just think that there's Clapper. I know their servers are overloaded right now, from what I heard. Which, you know, they're not as big as TikTok or anything, but. You know, when you have everybody leaving TikTok to go to another one, their servers aren't going to be able to take it. They got to be overloading it. And then, you know, you got Favorited. You had Lemonade, but that was connected to TikTok.
You said that today, and I was like, I have no idea what the hell you
Lemonade,
just said.
Lemonade, which is basically a backdoor to TikTok. It was another version of TikTok through TikTok. So there's really no – it's shut down, too. So CapCut – or CapCut. It's gone.
Well, I mean, CapCut's its own standing app.
No, CapCut's owned by TikTok.
Well, see, now that's funny because at work, when I do stuff on the TV side of work, when I make all these TV news packages, I use CapCut to edit all my stuff together.
No more.
Oh, boy. Do you have a CapCut app on your phone? Pull it up right now and we'll see what it says. CapCut isn't available. I'm going to send you a link to a video. There's a content creator that I followed on TikTok and follow him on Facebook called Marshall Patrick. He's your average working guy, and he does all these funny skits about, like, he's a Dollar General, or he does stuff about tool. Well, he did a video last night where he said, still creating content, but without CapCut now, where he literally takes a shirt on that says government, and then he changes the shirt in front of the camera, puts on the shirt that says TikTok, because the whole skit was TikTok arguing with the government about an extended period, and just he's like, phew. And he's fat like me, so he's out of breath changing, but you can see like all man boobs and all just changing.
Yeah. It's just
I didn't realize CapCut was part of it. That's what I use at work, that's CapCut.
I've used that a ton doing content for us and my own personal content. And now, it was funny last night, Brother Fluff's son is doing like sports content and using CapCut to edit and put on YouTube on the YouTube channel. I don't know what YouTube channel is. Don't ask me. But his son was upset because he was in the middle of editing something, and CapCut went down. And I'm like, oh, geez. And the kid was like heartbroken about it, which I don't blame the kid. Now he's everybody's asking him, you know, what else can we go to? It's free. Because most of CapCut is free if you're curious enough.
Right.
You can buy the pro package, but I never did because who needs it? Now, if I was making content full time, yeah, I'd have that.
All those TV news packages I did.
Yeah.
You know, editing the whole TV newscast is different, but for the news packages,
yeah, you can do those.
I would just did those with CapCut. We just had a free version at the studio.
Right.
That's how I put all those together.
It's easy. It's simple.
Oh my God! I love it. It's so easy to use.
Yeah, I mean, you probably use it on a computer. I did all on my phone. I just move this here, move that there, and you know, luckily I got a pin on my phone. I can click on stuff with that.
Okay, but I don't care if TikTok comes back or not, but bring me back CapCut to edit stuff with. Come on now.
But, yeah, I mean, that's just stuff going on in our life right now. I mean, other than that, I mean, it's...
Rest in peace to TikTok, although it will be back.
It is... I feel bad for the people who were making a living off of it. Now, they took that way of living away from them. You know, like you said...
Because it's a pissing contest between the United States and China.
You know, it's like you said, your friend
who was making money
off of it.
Yeah.
Now she has to go to another.
She's got to figure something out.
Rebuild the entire life.
Basically. I'm not going to name drop her, and I doubt she hears this, but she'll be okay. Her husband's a hardworking man. He's got a good job, but it was about her wanting to do her own thing, too.
Exactly.
And now she's like, now what?
Yeah. It's like she's not hurting for money, but she's not helping either.
No, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like those guys who did the cookbooks or the streaming, you know, cooking shows that they did, which I enjoyed watching some of those guys.
But I mean, and we followed. There's so much good wholesome content. I like comedy. One of my, and I'm going to say this now. I ain't ever smoked the devil's lettuce, but there's a stoner on TikTok that I followed, Stoner Gump.
Oh, you never smoked dope?
Never. I've never.
Oh wow.
I've held it in my hand. I've smelled it. The way I haven't done it coming from somebody that was a cigarette smoker that switched to a vape, the way you hold the joint in your hand is not the same way you hold a cigarette.
No,
that's funny to me. It's weird. But anyways, like Stoner Gump. You know the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's a funny,
he's hilarious.
Funny guy.
He sounds like Gump.
He doesn't. Anywho's,
Yeah.
You're a space cadet.
Yeah, but he...
Astronaut.
But it's all the comedian guys on there. It's like Ginger Billy.
Oh, God,
you know,
yeah.
He's hilarious on there, but, you know, he's on several platforms, too, but... But then you had the music, the guys that are playing music.
I know.
Original music on there, too, trying to get, you know, a scene. It's gone for them now. They had to go back to Twitter and Facebook.
It'd be interesting to see what happens, but at the end of the day... I can't believe we dedicated the first 30 minutes of this show to TikTok. But TikTok was a huge part of Freemasonry for us,
yeah,
and it's a huge issue. We have to address it.
We got in contact with guys from all over the world with it.
Some people we didn't get contacts with, which, whatever.
I mean, you little brother Obi out of Ireland, you could barely understand the Irish little bastard. You know, but, you know, you talk to the Puggles from Australia, whose dad was a 60-year, grandfather was a 60-year Mason in Australia.
Puggles.
You know, it's just stuff like that. You would never, ever talk to people one day in your life.
Never.
If it hadn't been for Freemasonry and TikTok.
And that's right. You know, Rescue and Meat Cutter and so many of these guys. Erica.
Simmons.
God, I love Brad Simmons. Know, he's such a wonderful man.
Archer Mason.
Archer.
I mean, we would never talk to him about our podcast because they have their podcast, Time for Fellowship.
Fellowship with Matt and Andrew.
Which we need to have. Both
we need Andrew on. We had Matt, our brother Archer.
Yeah, we need to have the other one on.
Why don't we just go up to Wisconsin? I can get me some Spotted Cow and we can...
We need to have a Midwest Masonic Con.
A Midwest Masonic Con.
Which, switching gears...
Let's go ahead. Let's switch gears.
Midwest Masonic Education thing is in Indiana this year.
Yeah, the Masonic... The Midwest Conference on Masonic Education, yeah. MCME. Todd and I first started talking about that in 2022. And we need to get a hold of Chad Kapansky. Chad's real big into that. It's going to be in Indianapolis. Yeah.
That's right.
When is the date? That's usually a
I'm gonna look it up.
April or May or June. I don't remember what the dates are for that.
There it is.
Wait, I want to click on something here. Breaking news, which it's not going to be breaking now, but it would be breaking for live. What's the headline say?
May 2nd through 4th.
TikTok is back for many users after 12 hours of shutdown.
Who said that?
It's breaking news by CNN. Let's see if this is true. Pull up your TikTok right now. Mm-hmm. There's no way. Mm-hmm. There's no way. Is it back?
It looks like it.
No way. Start scrolling. This is why we need to be live to tape. I'm not even joking. We're sitting here at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, June 19th, 2025. And are you telling me it's back already?
Yes.
I'm done. We're never recording another episode again. There's no way. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The whole world freaking melted down. The whole world melted down yesterday.
Yeah, last night was... I mean, there were people like almost in tears.
Todd said he was on live when it got shut down.
Yeah,
when TikTok went dark.
It said unable
to... Look, I'm looking at CNN right now.
I'm looking at TikTok right now.
I give up. I'm done.
What brought it back?
President Trump elect or something. What does CNN say? Looks like we're back. Oh. Is that Brother Nunley? Is he live?
Goes on, and my posting streak did not end.
So we are back.
I still stand by everything I said yesterday.
It says that around 12 hours after shut.
Did you know that looks like we're back?
Wow.
The whiplash move to bring the app back comes after TikTok became unusable for Americans on Saturday. A law banning TikTok has been enacted in the U.S. Blah, blah, blah. Early on Sunday, President-elect Donald Trump, who's inaugurated tomorrow, said he would issue an executive order following his inauguration to delay enforcement of the divest or ban law. And within hours, access to TikTok's app and webpage began to return for U.S. users. TikTok's restoration will be welcome news for the app's 170 million American users, many of whom use the app for hours every day to find news, entertainment, and so, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to know. I mean, but it's not just...
It's just, but we're literally doing this. This is why we need to be live to tape. People's going to hear this tomorrow, and it's not going to mean a damn thing.
But... I don't know, man. I don't know what to say now.
That's the first time we've ever had breaking news while we've been recording.
No shit. But I'm happy because the biggest thing for me, it was, you know, not be able to talk to my friends. But, you know, the most important thing to me, though, is people out there who are making a living off that.
Yeah.
Can't, now they can go back to making a living.
And that means I have to go back to TikTok because I always said, oh, I'll come back when it comes back.
There you go.
Now I have to eat my words. Enough about TikTok. It's back. Damn it, that was cool, though.
That was funny.
Going back to the Masonic Conference.
Yeah, it's May 2nd through the 4th, I believe. Is what I said.
So the week before Grand Lodge.
Yeah.
So now you're going to tell me that Mama's going to let you go to two things within 2 weeks of each other?
I really doubt it. But, yeah, the Midwest, May 2nd through the 4th.
Chad Kapansky, why don't you let me and Todd be guests up there? We'll speak to the crowd. That's been my goal, is to always do a guest presentation spot at the Masonic Conference on, you know.
Yeah, what are you
talking
about?
The Midwest Conference on Masonic Education, MCME. Todd, would you go up there on stage full of 1,000 Masons and talk?
Done it before.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, I proposed to my wife for a 300, so why not?
The Grotto Boys be grottoing.
But, yeah, that'd be – it'd be cool, but when is when's Grand Lodge this year?
You should be able to find
maybe 12-13, I think.
Okay, it's about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can pull that off. That'd be rough. But anyways, we need to do some traveling this summer. I know that.
We do need to do some traveling this summer.
See, I need to, let's do a TikTok or we just to
you can do one while we're. So the other thing I did want to mention and did want to point, are you really?
Yeah.
We hey, just broke back. The news. I broke the news to Todd.
I can't leave her back already. Hey, I'll talk to y'all later.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we're recording new content, so watch out.
I don't even know where. That messed up my whole mojo.
I think it's pretty awesome. But.
So touching base on a couple things, the Masonic. I always guess backwards. For 2 years, I've been saying it wrong. The Midwest Conference on Masonic Education, right. MCME. So that's coming up.
I would love to go up there at least attend it. But, you know, being Grand Lodge is, we got to pick one or the other.
Grand Lodge for me. No offense to the conference. If the conference was any other time of the year, fine. But with it being that close to Indiana Grand Lodge, not going to happen because your wife is not going to let you go to two things 2 weeks apart. No offense to Jill. I mean that. You guys are so busy.
We could go up for a day, but, you know, we got softball happening there too. So, and I do love watching my daughter play softball. So, what are you doing? What are you texting?
Somebody just texted me.
What are you doing?
So, anyways.
Is she pretty?
So, we had installation Wednesday night. Well, our stated meeting is the first Wednesday of every month. Fell on New Year's.
Day, yeah.
So, per our bylaws,
right.
We move it to the second Wednesday.
Right.
Winter Storm Blair, we made the decision. It's not safe for anybody to get out, so we postponed it another week. So, we were 2 weeks late, and we had installation of officers, but we didn't conduct any business.
And Jared has been installed as once again as Master
Lodge.
I'm sitting
in the east again this year, and
as I
reach into my bag here, that's not the.
What's your plan for the year? What do you want to achieve this year?
I got some stuff printed out here.
Give us the highlights.
First of all, I'm not going to read it, but I wrote a nice letter to the lodge. Here, you can look through that one.
I've already seen it.
I know, but for purposes, I wrote a nice letter to the lodge. Just about, you know, my stuff, you know, my first year in the East. And I asked some questions to the lodge about what can we do to gain new membership and make the dues-paying members return to the lodge every month. I said I'd like to try to have some form of Masonic education at each meeting or every other meeting, which you've really kind of taken under your wing the last part of last year. I'd like to try a quarterly big meal followed by some fellowships such as cards or movies. We can do it on a non-meeting night or a meeting night, so four times a year.
Non-meeting.
So my goal for Lodge this year is a couple of Lodge projects and stuff. Our parking lot's been an issue for a while.
It needs to be.
We need to make our parking lot bigger, but until we do that, we need another load of gravel because it is just basically soft.
It's soft right now.
So I said, let's do some work. If we have to fundraise, we can fundraise.
We need some landscaping.
We need a Lodge clean out year. Just basically where we clean out the lodge and we clean up the upside.
There's a lot of extra stuff in there being stored.
That doesn't need to be.
That needs to be gotten rid of.
Yes. Of course, we're going to go back to being involved in the Ferdinand Hyman Fest again. And we're going to get involved in the Ferdinand Folk Fest this year.
And the Du Bois County.
At the 4-H Fair. But the biggest thing that got everybody's attention is I brought up the need to do something for a needy family.
Right.
One of the other lodges here in the county, which would be the lodge we're sitting in right now, Line Lodge here in Jasper.
Yeah, they do. They help a family.
They pick a family in the community that has a legitimate struggle. Medical bills, a big dealing with unemployment,
right.
like a horrible job loss that one can't recover from or,
right.
you know, whatever. They pick a family and they take the profits from some of their fundraisers and their biggest fundraiser of the year. They participate in the Jasper Strassen Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And they donate a big portion of or give it all to. I don't remember what they do exactly. They do that. And I thought, well, if they're doing that, why can't we do something? Because
even if it's 2 weeks worth of groceries for a family or just buy Christmas presents and Christmas dinner for them. I mean, sometimes a little bit of kindness.
I brought that up because I'm not going to air all my dirty laundry. I'm just going to touch the base. You are only one of about five or six people that know. The last 2 months, I've hit a real. Mm-hmm. I've had a real hard wall. I've dealt with some stuff. I had some secondary income that went away, and I'm just kind of in a pickle. And I've cut all my budget out that I can cut out. I'm planning each trip I make in my vehicle so I can maximize my gas mileage so it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg to fill up and all this crap. And I know what it's like to struggle. We all have financial problems. I'm not trying to say we don't, but Todd will agree. I've been through the ringer about the last 2 months. So I just said I don't want anybody to ever feel the way I felt this year, freaking out that I'm not going to be able to afford Christmas for my kids. So I said I want to pick a family at the end of the year, and we're smart enough to pick a family or smart enough to form a selection committee that would know how to pick a family, where people could submit something to and all this stuff. We're smart enough to figure out the process and select the family. Maybe it doesn't have to be an exorbitant amount of money. It's as simple as maybe we pick a family that needs Christmas for their kids. Maybe we go and present a needy family with something as simple as a $500 check. You know, mm-hmm. something to get through a couple months. $500, you know, my rent's $725. I mean, $500 would take care of more than half my rent.
Oh, yeah.
So I know some people.
You need to buy.
Well, yeah, I know. I got rid of my house, unfortunately. But I said I want to look into doing something for a needy family. We didn't have to agree on anything. And again, we weren't in a business meeting form. We simply did insulation. But I said, since we're here, we're going to outline what my year in 2024 is going to look like.
Gave your speech for the year.
I mean, yeah, basically. And, you know, the other thing, of course, I want to do is we need more community involvement. Movie nights. We've been asked about that. Todd and I had that. I always say it was the failed Easter movie, but
it wasn't failed. It wasn't planned well.
No, there was like six other things going on across the county that Saturday,
and it really shouldn't matter. I mean, we'll get to remember the people who are going to be there are going to be there.
But it's community presence and community engagement, the same thing that we preach about every year. But I wrote a letter to the lodge that was attached to the top of my agenda, and. And all that, though, I remembered that I am nothing without the lodge's support behind me. So I thanked all my officers last year. I thanked all my officers this year. And we're going to see what happens.
Well, we just need to, I mean, I don't care if we bring anybody else new into the lodge, but the members that we have, we need to bring them back. Now, granted, most of our members are first responders. I get it. I said, maybe we need to change our meeting night. I don't know. But that goes without saying. But, you know, the stuff we just need to get more of a presence out in the whole, not just Bird's Eye, but we need to get our presence out through the whole, you know, Southeast Du Bois School Corporation, because that's basically where we're all from.
Right.
You know,
again, Jasper has a Strassen Fest, Honeyburg, where Du Bois 520 is at, they have the Honeyburg Herbs Fest. What do we have? And again, we've mentioned that in Bird's Eye, all we have is the Bird's Eye Annual Fireman's Picnic that is in conjunction with the Bird's Eye Park Board, because right. they have it at the town park, and the Bird's Eye Fire Department. There's nothing saying we can't get involved with that, but we have such a good working relationship with them that we have never wanted to step on their toes, which right. is why they didn't charge us a damn cent for the ice we borrowed from their
like
ice cooler.
Said, though, is we get involved with it, except we just won't make a profit off anything.
Right.
We'll get everything we make
we'll give
after
to them.
After our expenses, of course.
We'll give to them.
We give to them, which is just another way to
right.
get it. We're paying for the exposure. We're not paying to make. We're not there to make money. We're there for exposure. Like the Heimat Fest, we didn't make a whole lot off that. But we get exposure. People know we're there.
But see, and that was the other thing. Okay, well, if we don't have the Bird's Eye, what else connects us? And the only thing I could think of was the school district, because the kids in Bird's Eye go to the Southeast District, which is over in Ferdinand.
Yep,
so
Park,
we set school. Up the Heimat, and that went off so well.
And people loved it.
That went off so well that the young man that is in charge of running the Ferdinand Heimat Fest, the committee, was two grades behind me in high school. We have a good relationship. And
right.
at the end, when we were all tearing down that Saturday night, he said, man, he said it went good. He said, I'd love to have you guys back. Would love to have you featured as one of our top two or three vendors. So I think going forward, this is going to be our thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, as for many people that don't know, if you have no idea, when you set up a community booth at a community event like that, you have to pay a fee.
Yeah, you
some
pay
people
your booth fee.
Some people don't realize that. The fee that they charged us was nothing. And when I say nothing, obviously they had to make something off of our profits. That's the way business works. But I was thinking we were going to owe $200 or $300. That is not at all what they took for
no.
like. It was told to us, here's what we're going to charge you. We're going to charge you this in the hopes that you guys will come back and be one of our top two or three vendors every year going
well,
forward.
Like we started our information booth at my home lodge up at Tipton. You know, to get into the Pork Festival, which is a big festival there in downtown Tipton.
Why did you use air quotes when you said Pork Festival?
Because it's kind of funny because it used to be a big pork producing community. Now it's not.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's still called the Pork Festival.
I just love you. I wish. This is why we need video, because you're just like. Okay.
But, yeah, the Pork Festival, they charge us $300 for an information booth for 3 days.
That's $100 a day.
Yes.
Just for handing out information and water?
But we were in a gigantic tent with, what was there, 85 other people in it? So they're making a ton off that. Plus, you have all your food trucks there and everything. I mean, They make a hell of a killing off of that. But if you've ever been to Tipton around the Courthouse Square, they take over the whole downtown Tipton for 3 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They got tents. They have a big stage they set up. It's a big festival. You're thinking about like the West Side Nut Club festival type thing.
Did you see what the pot was for this year's like Fall Fest in Evansville and the West Side Nut Club and everything?
Was it over a million?
I don't remember what it was. It was six figures or better.
You would have won like $425,000.
It was either over six figures or eight figures, something like that. Seven figures.
Half the pot was like $400,000, I think.
Yeah, it was just astronomical.
Yeah.
Astronomical.
Which is, they could do that there too. You know, the Strassen Fest does their half pot. I think it was over $1 million.
Well, here's my question to you. Since you and I both suck at our job and we're terrible at podcasting, I don't know why anybody listens to us, because all we do is recycle the same old material every five episodes.
Yeah.
Inside joke. Do you think doing these things is because we need more community engagement and involvement? Do you think it's going to matter in the end?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if we do these things, we'll get a petition at each thing?
Well,
let me paraphrase that just a little more. If we don't get a petition, is it a failure or is it a victory if we at least get people asking questions and they take something like, I might come talk to you sometime down the road?
Yes. I think any
is it a failure or a success?
Any exposure is success. Success to me. It doesn't matter if you get a petition or not. I mean, most guys, they're going to think about it, but when they see it a second time, then they're going to come ask you. Because we went to the 4-H fair. We first started in the 4-H fair, and guys, we got one petition out of that. But this guy's already been thinking about it. Now, in our area, being where Freemasons isn't real prevalent, hasn't been prevalent ever.
Well, that's because we're small town Masons.
Exactly. The second time they see us, they hey, yeah, I want to join what you guys are doing. I want to see what you guys are doing. How do you join? And then you have them. Most guys aren't coming to you the first time they see you unless they've been actively thinking about it and they've been around it before. I mean, it's just the way human nature is. But I would say the more we do it, though, and if we do get, say, if there's a parade, the DuBois County Masons need to be in that parade. So people at least know we're there. You got the shrine in every damn parade. Why couldn't the Masons aren't in every parade?
Because, unfortunately, in DuBois County, a large portion of the Masons are Shriners, so they're not able to walk in the parade because they're already doing the Shriners thing.
But there's a lot
of them. But I see your point. Yeah. I see your point.
You have to put your face in front of the public because if they don't know you're there, they're never going to ask you about anything about it. Especially in Ferdinand, in, say, St. Henry, St. Anthony, all that stuff. We need to be involved in all those festivals.
In some way.
Some way, somehow, yes.
We had a chance for Bird's Eye, our lodge, to get involved this year with the DuBois County Christmas involved at the DuBois County Museum, which is right down the road from where we're at since we're recording in Jasper today.
It was kind of short notice.
It was short notice. We couldn't get over there. They wanted us to be the ones to dedicate the...
Dedicate a tree. Or decorate a tree.
Decorate and dedicate for Bird's Eye. And the lady that...
They got Debs to do it, didn't they?
I don't remember who joined in. The ladies that asked me to do it is the executive director at the museum, and she comes into the television station all the time to do stuff, and she knew I was a good old Bird's Eye redneck and member of the lodge, so she's like, why not have you guys?
Yeah.
But we couldn't pull it together in time.
Yeah, I think Deb's truck stop ended up doing it.
So let me ask you this, because this whole episode has just really been...
Get together.
I always like to shake the rust off when it's been a little bit, so... Right. I'll never call anything we do a throwaway episode, but this is kind of a throwaway episode.
It's...
Especially with TikTok ruining it middle through. We're talking about TikTok's gone. But anyways, now TikTok's back and my nut phone's blowing up. But anyways, what do you – I'm gonna ask you to give me an honest on-air job review, and I want you to be honest. How did my year in 2024 go in the East? What could have done better? What worked? What didn't work? Because this is only going to help us get better.
I think everything went fine. I mean, you didn't get run anybody off. You didn't bring anybody in, really. We brought one guy in, but he transferred.
He had a move right away.
Which, something like that, that stuff's going to happen. I mean, his vocation, he had to do what he had to do. I get that.
I mean, he only moved like an hour away to a couple counties away, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's far enough.
It's far enough.
But as far as what you wanted to get done, you got most of it done. Now, some of the hard part is, you got in the festival. Okay, you got that done.
That took a lot of work and planning, by the way. Lot of work and planning.
Which now we know what we got to do. We need to get
it. Now we know so we can get it a little. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do a little bit better next year on it. But usually the first year never turns out the way you hope it to be. Even my first year being in the East, when they got to be at the end, I'm like, well, I'm not done yet. You're like, what do you mean? It's like, I'm not ready to get out of the East yet. I haven't done what I want to do.
That's how you got to stay 4 years in a row.
Well, basically. After 2 years, like, well, you might as well do a third. Yeah, you're right. But you did a fine job this year. You didn't ruffle really any feathers. I think your feelings got hurt a couple times, but they shouldn't have.
A couple times. I did get my feelings hurt with the actual festival itself because... Which we learned that I just went in with unrealistic expectations. I went in wanting to see the lodge clear, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500.
That was never going to happen at that festival.
I'm not saying that might happen over here at the Strassen Fest in the biggest festival in DuBois County, but that's not going to happen because I kept thinking.
Didn't have 1,500 people at the festival.
Well, and the reason we all said that is we all know is that lodge that we are in now. Opened in 2000, so it's been there 25 years.
Right,
we had to replace the heating and cooling system. That was $10,000.
I was hoping to get
a bunch to work that off. But
that just wasn't gonna.
That
happen.
Was unrealistic. So that was one of the times I got my feelings hurt. Which now we know realistically. And again, we don't talk a whole lot of money on air. We're not going to give the exact figures. It's common knowledge. You're replacing heating and air units, going to ballpark run you $10,000. But based off what we made last year, I know what's more realistic to make. I'm sure we can make that again. And I'm talking profit after expenses. Plus, I think if we hit it hard and we promote it more, and that works because I mean, obviously, I work in the media, so I can, yeah. But I think we'll have a much better year at the Fest this year.
Yeah, but I think festivals are coming back, too, since COVID, where we couldn't have festivals, we couldn't get together like that. I think people, when they couldn't do it, they yearned for it. They wanted to be able to get together.
They missed having it.
So I think more people came out this year for the festivals, for the Hobbit Fest, than they had in the past. Because the Hobbit Fest has gotten smaller and smaller every year since I've lived here. I mean, there's been years we didn't even go because it's like, why? There's nothing up there but a beer garden and a stage. Not reality. But even when you're up there to get food or something like that, usually there's nobody open most of the time. You know, they need to have it where if the festival's here, you have to be open.
Right.
If you're not open, then you're not coming next year. You know, but like, well, there's 4 food vendors this year.
Probably.
And there should be 30.
Probably.
But. Yeah, it is what it is.
But, so I had a good year.
I mean, I would love to get involved in some of those festivals. I just don't have time to do it.
Well, I mean.
But as far as your year went fine. I mean, your first year, you're always learning anyway.
Learning new things.
So this year, I know we need to get out there and let everybody know Freemasonry is in Southeast DuBois County. You know, if you want to be a member, come on. I think one thing we need to do this year is have more fellowship nights, like you see the movie nights. Or just meet at Denny's one night for dinner, or go to a bar and have a drink together one night. I mean, stuff like that goes a long way.
And I think what's going to change this year is I know a little bit more what to expect. But I mean, the whole first page of this, minus one paragraph, was my letter to the lodge about last year.
Oh, yeah.
Before I got into my agenda, and one of the things I said that. I am not asking you remain accountable for things, but to hold me accountable and hold me to higher standard as master of the lodge for 2025. I want to lead this lodge in the best way I can, so when my tenure is over in December of 25, everyone looks back and is proud of the 2 years that I sat in the East, and that's my goal. I want people to go, man, boy, Todd's really going to have his hands full when he goes to the East in 26. No, well, I mean, that depends on if our senior warden decides he wants to move up. You know, he's got.
If he does, he does. He don't, he don't.
Yeah, but, so.
But it's. We just need to have more activity in our life. For long, so long, it's been dormant 29 days a month. You know, we have one like Spurge in October, once in.
I like going to lodge.
So do I.
Because
love
it gives
there.
Me something to do, it gives me something to get out of the house. You know, yeah. It's. So it's funny, you know, I've said before on the podcast that, you know, Grandpa passed away in September of 21. Had Grandpa passed away, would I have came back? Probably not.
Why not?
I would have kept my dues paid. And then I was going through a depressing time. The year before in 2020, I went through a pretty nasty breakup with this girl I dated for about a year, year and a half after me and my ex-wife split. And it came out so that, you know, I was in a depressive state. And as Todd pointed out, I thought I was going back to lodge just to kind of honor Grandpa's memory, but what I realized, as much lodge as I was doing back then when I first came back, I was doing it because I needed something to keep my mind focused, and I feel that way too, and you know, like, it gave me something to look forward to. In a depressing state, what's to do? Oh, well, there's Masonic work going on tonight. Okay, we'll go home, shower, shave, put on my good jeans, put on my good boots, and go from there. So
yeah, I mean, it's like I'm gonna say it again, but when I was active in the Grotto of Kokomo, I was surprised at how much activity they had there every month.
Right.
Every Friday night they had a Friday night dinner, which we had a professional kitchen in the place. We had a professional chef. I guess you call him a chef. Dave, you're listening. I love you, buddy. But
shout out Dave.
Dave Young, which is a great guy. You should have been there for a third degree. It was hilarious. But anyways, but every Friday night we get there and we hang out. Now, before I started going there regularly, if you weren't up there by, say, 8 o'clock, doors were dark. Everybody gone home. Everybody had been done. They came at, you know, 4 to 8, and it was done. They didn't use that much. Then me and a couple of the other guys who joined started going up there Friday nights. We were open. We still get to play them like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. On a Friday night, just drinking, having a good time. Well, that got to be where, okay, first it was just me and my buddy Jerry Weir. Love you, Jerry. We would stay up there just drinking all night. And going over, they had a singles dance in the in there, our banquet hall.
Oh, boy.
We wouldn't go over there, but we'd kind of go into the bar area. In their bar area, kind of look, see he was over there. Usually nothing worth looking at. And then, of course, I was single at the time, so I didn't have anything to worry about. But
he's got to make sure he points out in case Jill hears this.
But, well, then, you know, once I met Jill, Jill started coming Friday nights. And she loved it because it was cheap drinks. She loved all the ladies up there.
It gave her something to do.
But then we had pork chop dinners. We had just fellowship nights. Then we had a what we called the Back 40 Bash, which was a one-day little music festival type thing where we had food and, you know, you came
I like that name, the Back 40 Bash.
Yeah, which we had like a big grass lot back here we called the Back 40. Had a motorcycle ride and everything. It was fun. But they had pork up there. They had fish fries. They had all this stuff to make money and raise money. But it was more the fellowship and hanging out with the guys. And, you know, in the state of meetings, we really had 30, 40 guys show up for state of meetings at the Grotto. Because they're going to have a good meal. They're going to have a good drink. They're going to have a good fellowship and go home happy. I mean, I think that's how lodges ought to be. I mean, our installations, we call them Monarch's Balls. We didn't have, is Monarch's Ball an installation? Because there's the insulation, you're in a tuxedo or a nice suit and everything.
Oh, I know. I seen pictures.
And they're all, you know, they're nice. They're fancy. It's fun to get dressed up. Afterwards, we dance and hang out all night, sing karaoke if you wanted to. But
let's go just look at Todd's profile pictures. Todd never updates his Facebook profile pictures. Nope. But if I go back far enough, there should be a picture of you at a... There we go. January 12th, 2012. What is that?
That is when I got my, that was 2012, that was.
Well, that's when you uploaded it, I should say.
Okay, that was the night me and Jill got engaged, and that was when I was going out as being Monarch.
So that's 2010, 2011.
That's 2011, January 2011. That's the day I got engaged, too.
Look how young you are there. How old are you in that picture? Probably 20, 30, something.
What's the date on that one?
This says you uploaded this November of 2009.
I was 30. Yeah.
Look how, not to poke fun at you, but look how thin you are in that picture.
I know.
Look at that hair.
Yeah, I didn't have a five head then.
Is that you?
Yep.
You fit in the Shriner car?
No, I fit in the Grotto truck.
Well, I mean.
Yes.
I would get stuck in those things.
Nah, you'd be surprised how much room's in those. Just, we have bigger guys than you get into them.
I've been soft. Hey, you know, because we're just kind of getting our feet under us, and we've been gone so long. What? How is Ivan Sodgrotto doing overall? I mean, I know you still talk to some of those guys.
As far as I know, they're...
That's one of the bigger grottos in the state, right?
Yeah. Sahara's the biggest in Indianapolis. Ivan Sod was second for the longest time. I haven't really talked to anybody about numbers or anything. I'm not going to talk about the numbers, but I know they're down quite a bit because they ended up losing their building through some.
We talked about that in one of our Grotto episodes.
Yeah, they had a great building, great property out there, right there off 31 in Kokomo,
Highway 31.
Yeah, State Road 31. But they ended up losing that through. I'm not going to go into that because I don't like the idea. I'm still kind of upset about that, but it's through the fault of. Not just one person. There's a lot of people in fault of it. But they're still going. I'm still a dues-paying member there. But say they're not like it used to be.
Right.
State meetings are barely enough to open, I guess. But
this Grotto talk, I hate that. We've done two Grotto episodes on the show. We did a Grotto episode, one of the first 10 episodes we did on this podcast. And then we did one within the last...
With Michael Neely.
We did that. And then we did one with Michael Neely. I guess technically we've done three because the interview we did with Michael Neely, we talked a lot Grotto. And then we did one, I don't remember when we recorded it, but I'm going to say recently because we mass record release date sometime in the last 20 episodes. Yeah. We did a pretend Grotto. But that's apparently getting attention because when we got here to the lodge today and we met Tyson to get the key so we could lock the building up tonight, he said, what's going on with you guys in this Grotto thing? So apparently it's gaining traction. People are listening to us talk about it. Ever really came out and said anything to us. We can't move forward unless we don't know who we get to charter.
If we can get 25 guys to sign up, pay their money. Now, it's not cheap to start one. It isn't. I know the Lion Eye Grotto. I talked to their guy up there who was starting that grotto over in Champaign, Illinois.
The Cheyenne Grotto?
No, this is the Illini Grotto.
Oh.
Cheyenne's up in Chicago. Illini's in Champaign. Bloomington, Champaign area up there. And I asked him, I said, hey, what? I'm thinking about coming, maybe being a charter member over there. That's a church over there.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, it's a church.
The church bells.
Get training.
We get the training bird's eye. We get the church bells here in Jasper.
But he said, okay, it's like $300 some to be a charter member. I think, well, I don't need a fez. I got my own fez. I said, okay, if you be like two something, I'm like, I don't have two something really to put on that right now. So, but I talked to Neely about that a little bit. He said, well, you can get a fez about $80. A good basic fez.
Michael Neely wants us to help get a grotto going down here. Michael Neely is a huge supporter of the show, a great mason, and the grotto means the world to Mike Neely.
He'll be president of Midwest Grotto Association in
27, 26?
Next year, actually.
26 or 27.
And he's also in Supreme Line, too. He's grand captain of the guard.
Remind everybody that's not a grotto what that means when you talk about the Supreme Line.
Supreme Line is like basically your National Grand Lodge, okay, which we don't have a National Grand Lodge in America, but the national body, is we call it the Supreme Council, and you have your Grand Monarch, Deputy Grand Monarch, and so on and so forth down the line. And with that one, you don't – if you start at the bottom, you'll work your way all the way up to Grand Monarch.
Well, I've been working my way trying to get – I want to be Grand Master of the United States, but so far –
It's clandy.
but what you did there.
But, yeah, if we got a grotto start down here, it would be, you know, basically everyone had to buy a fez, and you had to have a way to fill the treasury.
Another thing, too, you know, I've been all over this episode. This has been a good – it's been good banner. But I think a lot of the problem is because – you can have Masonic lodges within so many miles of each other.
Right.
But when there's a pendant bodies, it's a little different because a pendant bodies aren't as prevalent as the Blue Lodge. No offense. Right. Without Blue Lodge, nothing exists.
Yeah, you have Blue Lodges in the same lodge.
The point I'm making, though, is like, how would that mess with people if we would have an pendant body like a grotto here, and then they can drive 45 minutes to Evansville and have another pendant. Well, I mean,
the rule is, as far as the grotto is concerned, is there can be no grottos like more than 50 miles close to each other.
We got to be 50 miles from
Evansville. We're 50 miles from Evansville. We're 50 miles from Louisville, too.
There's no grotto in Louisville, is there?
Yeah, there's a in Fairdale, yeah.
What's it called?
Ahmed.
Really?
Hmm?
This goes back to that discussion we had. We need to get more Kentucky Masons on.
Good bunch of guys down there.
They are a bunch of rednecks. Gotta love them.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I went down there for the Monarchs ball one year and had a hell of a good time. But there's one, like I say, there's one in Louisville. It's Fairdale, south of Louisville.
Right.
The town south of Louisville. A little bitty place, but nice little town. And then there's one in Evansville, which they meet at the Shrine now. So. But, yeah, they say if we want to start one here.
You're not just going to walk past that.
What?
The grotto and the shrine.
The grotto meet at the shrine club, yes, at the shrine temple.
When the grotto is the poor man's version of the shrine.
Yeah.
It's like big brother, little brother syndrome.
They just rent a room for a night. Not
really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah.
No Ruse rents from.
No Ruse used to have
from the hottie.
Yeah, No Ruse used to have a billion down off downtown, I think off Cherry Street. It used to be like just down the block from the. From the Scottish Rite Cathedral. The temple building.
We're talking downtown Evansville.
We're talking down by the river.
Oh, yes. Yeah, riverfront.
Yeah. It was an old school, from what I understand, and they ended up, it got pretty bad disrepair. They made a lot of money off that. Then they bought a place over on the northwest side, I think it was, kind of about like modern day, I guess. I never been to it, but they bought that, and then they ended up... I don't know what happened. They ended up selling that place, but then the grotto was, I guess, on the last leg. I was told by the market time that they were kind of getting ready to shut down. And then they had a bunch of guys come in there and kind of start it back up again. And so now they're going like gangbusters, but they meet at the Shrine Club.
Well, and again, at the
Shrine Temple.
We've always tried to be respectful of everybody on this platform because no Mason ever wants to kick another Mason. But we weren't wrong when there was a time when No Ruse, and I think all them guys would say that, yeah. No Ruse was hurting.
They were
and
down,
when I said they were on their last leg, that was no offense to them. That was the public perception they were putting out.
Right.
But what Daniel Norvell and all them guys down there have done, they have really turned No Ruse around.
And that happens a lot with these clubs, even lodges. I mean, they may go good for 10, 20 years and kind of they get comfortable. They don't keep growing, and they stay stagnant for a long time, and all of a sudden everybody starts dropping off, and then, well, we're getting ready to close. Well, not on my watch, and I'll come back in here. I've seen lodges do that. I've seen, you know, grottos do that. I've seen Yorkites do that. You know, it's, whenever, the fear of losing it kind of brings everybody back sometimes. So,
right.
And I think that's what happened down at Nogaroos. And the same thing with Maru Grotto up in Terre Haute. They had a great place on the river down there. Older building, but still a good building. And then they had a membership to keep it up anymore. I think they got rid of that. Now they meet at one of the temples, and then they go to a bar afterwards and have fellowship then, which is what we'd have to do here. I mean, we would have our own building for at least a while.
We would have to basically, in my mind, I would like us to meet at one of the three lodges in the county.
We'd probably rotate, meet at one of the three lodges, and afterwards go out to eat somewhere after that. Or,
and each one of these lodge buildings, you know, Jasper, Honeyberg, and Birdseye, they're all big fellowship halls. They've all got nice little lodge room. And, of course, they're all fat-friendly, minus Honeyberg. I'm telling you right now, that to me, I'm a simple man nowadays. To me, the mark of a good lodge is if I can sit in a chair and my thighs and my size don't. So if you have armed chairs, they need to be wide. Otherwise, have piano pews or straight-back chairs.
Don't ever go to Linville, is all I got to say.
Is it not fat-friendly?
It's theater seats, buddy.
When we went to Eureka Lodge down Spencer County, yeah. Grandmaster David Morgan's home lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is not fat friendly. The only place in the only place in that room that was fat friendly for me to sit was I had to sit in the dark.
Yeah.
I sat in the north.
North, yeah.
And everybody's like, the master goes, brother, you want to sit? I pointed to my gut, and he goes, oh, got you, brother. That was the only fat friendly chair there was in the dark.
Fort Branch also.
Fort Branch. That one weren't bad, but if you notice, I had to sit like this.
Yeah, their chairs are close together.
I had to sit like this when we went down there.
It's like we want to get a grotto together, we can, but I'm just going to say it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take 25 guys working together to get it started.
Well, again, we're slowly getting people interested, and we'll see where we're at. Todd and I aren't going to put forth any work until we get more commitments from people. So,
and if we really wanted to get it going, we'd go to all the lodges in our local area
and do a presentation about it.
Right. Yes. But right now, we got to worry about getting our Blue Lodge back where we want it before we start doing that. So,
and that's the other thing. That's like, you know, with me joining the Yorkrite, and I went through, and I'm a Knights Templar now. I haven't been able to contribute much time to the Yorkrite yet. I'm hoping to change that this year. But
yeah, what are your plans going forward with your pendant body stuff? I mean, are you going to start going to Yorkrite meetings?
So here's the thing. So
learn the chairs and.
So here's the thing with that. My priority will, and it amazes me. If you want me to speak on this, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Go ahead.
What amazes me is that you have brothers in Masonry that. Once they become their Master Mason,
never see him again.
Well, I know we always joke about that with the shrine, but that's with any appendant body. Like, I get that some brothers just love these appendant bodies, but if you don't put in your time in the Blue Lodge, that's what baffles me, because the Blue Lodge is the foundation for all this. Without, and I say it till I'm blue in the face, but everybody is in agreement. Without Blue Lodge, none of this exists.
True.
So my focus will forever always be Blue Lodge. Now, that's not saying I don't want to get involved in the Yorkrite, because some of what I was missing in Freemasonry, I don't know why I was thinking, some of what I was missing in Freemasonry, I found in the Yorkrite, because I love getting back in and seeing the theater of the mind to some of this stuff. Because in Masonry, you only get that theater of the mind during your degrees or when you go see degrees.
Right.
But in Yorkrite, it's there a lot. And you know me, I don't consider – I'm not a good – well, I shouldn't say I'm not a good ritualist. I am a ritualist. I mean, I would – if there was ritualist tiers 1, 2, 3, I would be the bottom tier ritualist.
Right.
I'm working towards the second tier. But, I mean, you know me. I love ritual.
Right.
And I want to get involved with the Yorkrite more. So I'm going to put my focus there. Now, if there is a contrast of things where it's like, hey, there's something going on both nights – you got to do this or this. If there's a Yorkrite meeting and there's a degree going on one night, if it's one of the two lodges here, because obviously it couldn't be Honeyberg if that's where we're meeting, but if like Line Lodge or our lodge has a degree on the same night as Yorkrite business meeting, I'm not going to make that.
Right.
If we have our stated meeting and there's a York Right degree going on, as long as I'm in the East, I'm going to sit in the East. Now, right. I'm not saying I wouldn't skip a degree from another chair once in a while because I need to get acclimated into the York Right more, but I'm going to put as much time into it this year as I can.
When they meet?
So I think they're meeting monthly now. I'm going to check with the Lamberson twins because I know they discussed that it was going to become a monthly meeting thing again. I think last time I talked to them when they were still kicking the tires on this, I think it has now become a third Wednesday of every month.
Okay, well, not too bad.
So we meet on the first Wednesday. So
and line meets on the what, first Monday?
Second Monday of the month, 7 p.m. I know, as we just talked about, I only have one honorary membership in Freemasonry, and it's here at this lodge. I was presented with that last year.
I got five.
In 24. Yeah.
I got five of them. So.
And, you know, that's something else that carries weight with me.
Yeah.
We were talking off air before we started recording, and we briefly mentioned this at supper during our installation earlier this week. Lodge is there for a while, and I'm not crapping on game Line Lodge, like, Bird's Eye, like, or Humber, but they went out like hotcakes, like candy. Yeah. And in the last few years, all three lodges have really started to pull back on giving out honorary memberships because they want it to mean more. You were sitting with me that night at that degree here last spring.
Yep.
It was January, February, March, April, somewhere in there. Brian Freeze was in the East, and he said, told Tyson Craven, our senior, he said, "Brother, please escort Mr. Atkins west of the altar." And you were sitting right beside me, and I said, "For what?" Because you know,
what?
Yeah, right like that. I did, didn't I? Because I didn't had no idea that. And Brian said,
"They're always surprising."
Yeah, they are. Brian said, "Well, you've been coming to this lodge for years." He said, "Before I knew you, I heard you used to come here a lot before you went away for a few years." He said, "You always help us with degrees. You always stay and offer to help clean up the kitchen, do dishes, whatever." And they presented me, and you seen it in my face that night. I got pretty choked up. I was surprised. So I'm proud to say I am an honorary member here at Line Lodge 743.
Now, my thing, when I was in the East, I didn't give out a whole lot of honorary memberships. The guys who got them deserved them. But I always figure if a guy's going to be an honorary member, he has to give me a couple years of service.
Exactly. Like,
I mean, you can't just come to one meeting.
I don't care if you were membership. And I don't want this to sound bad. I don't want to sound like a dickhead. Can I say dickhead on our show?
Yes, my show.
I'm going to say we had a past grandmaster say the word bitch one time, so we're good. We love you, Roger. Sorry we missed you at Founders Day. I don't want to sound like a dickhead, but if you're a great, well-known Mason,
right,
and like your name comes out of the mouth of so many Masons across the state, that's fine. But I'm not going to give you an honorary membership just based on that.
Right.
Like, I'm going to give you an RA membership based on how you've contributed to the lodge. If you come to every time we have degree work and you participate, if you come to every degree work and you bring a dessert and you offer to stay and clean the lodge after, but just because, like, you could, like, I'm thinking football today, so let's combine Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So if you have Peyton Brady, one of the best Masons known all over Southern Indiana, guys involved in everything.
Yeah.
But Peyton Brady shows up to your lodge but never does anything, and he only shows up for degrees, like say you have 12 degrees a year and he only comes to four of them. I'm not giving Peyton Brady this honorary membership when so many others have, because – that's just me. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it.
Shows up to all the parts.
But I'm not doing that just based off that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's got to be – it has to mean more to you than just, well, this guy showed up. I show up. No one pays my dues if I just show up.
You think about this. So, when I was initiated and entered apprentice in October of 2007, and I don't carry my monitor anymore. I carry Grandpa, so I can't look at my monitor.
Mine's home.
So, but whatever it was, when I was initiated and entered apprentice on October blank of 2007, I never thought that I would ever, you know,
get an honorary membership.
Well, I shouldn't. Let me rephrase that, because that sounds stupid, and we don't want to sound like dummies. We do a good enough job of that anyways. October 2007, I was initiated and entered apprentice. I've seen a lot of things and been involved with a lot of great things in Freemasonry, the best of which has probably been this, what we have built, this podcast.
So far.
You and I have built something really special to the point where there is Masons all over Indiana and Masons that we've met through TikTok. Again, another TikTok plug.
Knock TikTok.
That tells us all the time that we're doing so good for the craft and people love the things we do. This is probably the best thing in Masonry that I have done, and it's just a side offshoot. But getting that honorary membership here to this lodge, Line Lodge 743 in Jasper, is probably right up there as one of the top two or three things I've ever done, because it showed me, it's like, wow, there might not be a lot of Masons that know me worldwide. There might not be a lot of Masons that know me statewide, but I do a good enough job doing ritual and helping out that I've left an impression enough on this lodge to be like, you know what? Let's make him an honorary member here. Because to me, some people might say it's just all flash and sizzle, but to me, an honorary membership says something about who you are as a Mason. Because if you don't, well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, a lot of times they are giving out like candy, but you see the point I'm making.
Yeah.
That carries weight.
They should be earned. They shouldn't just be given.
Right.
It's like anything else. I mean, your honorary membership, it should be given to you for a reason, not other than, well, we like you. It's not really enough, in my opinion. Now, I have gotten that way. I've got one a lodge up north where I went there one time. The next time I showed up, gave me 100 membership. I'm like, no, wait a minute. God, I've only been here one time. Yeah, we like it. You helped out a lot. I'm like, okay. I'm not gonna take it. But
right.
At the same time, it didn't mean to me as much as that first one I got. I wasn't working towards that. But, you know, I went there a lot, and I got volunteered for a lot of stuff. That's one lodge I walk into, and he can do whatever you want. I'm like, I'm just barely a master mason. I don't know how to do anything. But, you know, that one was – I did a crossfire for every degree there. I've done
– That's my favorite thing
second,
to do.
I've done second, third ruffian form. I've done, you know, senior deacon form several times. I sat in the east form a couple times. And then they give me an honorary membership. It's like, well, okay, this is kind of cool. It's kind of nice. And then – I get a couple more, but I did travel. Like I said, I travel 5 nights a week.
Can you list all your honorary memberships for our listeners right now?
See, there's Naftali, Quincy, Rushville, New London, Howard.
I love Adam Nelson. Rushville.
I think that's it.
Really? Yeah, I got four. None down here?
None. I haven't been active enough down here, be in my opinion. But I can't be active because, you know, I got a family now, and, you know. It's
and you've got a podcast to think about.
I got a podcast, yes, but
because
you know, with work being as steady as it is, and my wife works too, and I'm not going to let her work all day long to come home, take care of the kids and everything by herself. I mean, just not how things are done. Now I will say this, I used to complain about the guys who'd come to lodge, they get there at 7 o'clock, go through meeting, and as soon as the lodge was over, boom, back home. Now I understand why they did that. Because a lot of times it's not happy life, happy wife when you get home if you're there till 11 o'clock at night.
I don't know. You stand around sometimes and participate in parking lot masonry.
I do, but they're already bed by the time I get home, so I don't have to hear it.
All right. Well, let's start to tie this up. One thing I want to point out, this has been a great episode to get our feet back underneath us.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good talk again. I mean,
no, I missed it. We both expressed each other in text how much we missed it. One thing I want to point out is we're kind of at a weird point of this season. Normally we're wrapping and starting a new season at Founders Day. This time things are a little different as far as how long this season runs. I don't know, but you know, we're gonna keep rolling for tape for a few episodes a day, and we might even do another recording session after that yet before we wrap it and call it done, and maybe we'll figure it out. You know, we'd like to try to get to Grand Lodge. I'd like to do a reversal this year and open the season by recording at Grand Lodge, and which could be possible with 2 days. So he's back on the TikTok here.
No, I was gonna actually message somebody. I just hadn't done it yet.
This is why we need to be live to tape, broadcasting everywhere. We don't have that kind of money or platforms.
Not yet.
But all right, so for brother for brother Todd
and brother Jared,
this has been another episode, finally,
yeah,
of That Other Masonic Podcast, coming to you today and for the next several episodes you hear from Line Lodge 743 in Jasper, Indiana. Stay tuned, we got a lot of great stuff coming in 2025, and we will see you guys next time.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to That Other Masonic Podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.